Are we on? I'm give you a level. Outside broadcast, pod 3, here we are, River Thames. We've already moved down a little bit from the beach, as they call it on the Isle of Dogs, because there was a ghostly banging. And I'm maybe 6 foot and 19 stone with a baseball bat, but it scared me. So we've moved down a little bit. It's me, the lake, by the river. The lake by the river. He's had an operation. We'll talk about that in a little while. But quite frankly, welcome to Pod 3.
Heart on Broadway. They say that life's a game and then they take the board away. They give you masks and costumes and an outline of the story. Then leave you all to improvise their vicious cabaret. In a no longer pretty cities, there are fingers in the kitties. There are wands, forms and shitties and a jackboot on the stair. Sex and death and human grind in monochrome. For one thing down, at least the trains are run on time. They don't go anywhere. Facing their responsibilities either on their backs or on their knees. There are ladies who just simply freeze and then are turned away. And the widows that refuse to cry are dressed in garter and bow tie, be taught to keep their legs up high in this vicious cabaret. At last, the 1998 show, the ballet on the burning stage, the documentary scene upon the fractured screen, the dreadful poem scrawled upon the front of the page. There's a policeman with an honest soul, but a scene whose head is on the pole. He grunts as he fills his bride bowl with a feeling of unease. He briskly frisks the torn remains, our fingerprints, our prints and saves, and endeavors to ignore the chains that he walks into his knees. But his master in the dark inspects the hands with brutal eye that have never brushed a lover's thigh but have squeezed the nation's throat. He hungers in his secret dreams, the heart and grace of cruel machines. His lover is not what she seems, and she will not leave a note. At last, the 1998 show, the situation tragedy. Grand office slick with soap, cliffhangers with no hope. The water gallery, the flooded gallery. There's a girl who puts good will on shore, is desperate for her father's love. Believes the hand beneath the glove is one she needs to hold. But she doubts her husband's morality. She decides that she is more easy in the land of doing as she pleases. And outside in the cold, the backdrops peel and the sets give way, and the cars get eaten by the play. There's a murderer at the matinee, there are dead men in the aisles. The patrons and the actors draw uncertain if the show is through. Inside on looks and with the cues of the pose of Marsha's smiles. At last, the 1998 show, the Todd song no one ever sings. The curfew chorus line, the comedy divine, the bulging eyes of puppets, strangled by the string.
Doing wanker. I've been watching Big Brother. No, I reckon Big Brother have been watching us. If you remember on pod 2,
wanker.
Absolutely, that's what happened on pod 2. And then shortly after, the Big Brother started and Pete went in the house and made like it was his own saying, it was his own catchphrase. I think we were the ones who copyrighted wanker. And I think if you want any proof, show anybody a picture of me. And I think most people will instantly say, wanker. other than that, wanker. I can't do that bit, though. Right, welcome to Pod 3. We're out by the River Thames, up by some flats. We originally wanted to go by the beach. But as I say, we got scared. Even though I've got a baseball bat with me, we got a little bit scared. So here we are. Oh, there's a police car coming. Right, Alan, it's down here. I've got the Mr. Lake with me. That thing you heard, the piece of music you heard, first off, was from the... well, it's from the actual... It's not even from the play V for Vendetta. Let me explain briefly. 15 years ago, I'm from Northampton. I grew up with Alan Moore, who wrote V for Vendetta. We all knew Alan as just a big guy who looked like Dave Lee Travers, who lived around the corner. But nobody dared call him the Hairy Cornflake, because he'd write a book about you. And we just grew up knowing him. And when I was in my 20s, I wanted to try my bit of thespianism and acting. And what I did was I directed in London, some say not very well, by the skin of my teeth, a production of V for Vendetta, in which we were lucky enough, considering that Alan Moore didn't want anything to do with the film. He was so disgusted with the film, he asked for his name to be taken off the credits. It's now got something about written by the Bolowski brothers. Bolowski brothers? Bollocks brothers? Who the fuck are they? Do you know what I mean? The fact is, it was written by Alan Moore from Northampton and V for Vendetta. And I directed the Fringe performance in a pub called the New Copenhagen. Don't look for it now, as they say at the beginning of Spinal Tap. It isn't there. The Electric Banana. And Alan himself put down his voice as... don't worry, that's the industrial bit across from the Thames there making that noise. It isn't the ghostly thing that we had earlier. And Alan played the voice of Fate. And what we're going to hear later... is an abridged version, edited, for copyright reasons, of the actual song V for Vendetta that Alan did for us. And being the voice of Fate, the music's written by a friend of Michael, Dave Turley, and I wrote the words. And what you heard initially, and I hope he doesn't mind me playing it, was David Jay's version of The Vicious Cabaret. And if you're familiar with the book, you'll know what The Vicious Cabaret is. It's the beginning of chapter two. And if you're not... then really, I can't recommend it enough, so I won't recommend it at all. Go and see V for Vendetta. Oh, I just did recommend it. What a wanker!
Wanker! Wanker! Wanker! Wanker!
We haven't got the alarm, but we've got Ali. And people in the flats looking out wondering who's shouting wanker.
Sorry, Greenwich,
across the river there. And we've got some other music as well tonight. We've got something from The Tones, which they've allowed me. They've told me I can play their music. I don't want to play most of it, it's shit, but one of the songs is called Jeremy Kyle, and I thought I'd play a bit of that. Scenes as me and Jez are supposed to be great friends, although, funnily enough, since he started the television show, he doesn't ring me as much as he used to. Isn't that amazing? Also, thank you to every single person who emailed me, m.maf.fox@talk21.com, saying how good, how much they appreciated the first two pods. Thank you, Mum. You can stop now. And thank you, Dad. You can stop now. You've been dead for 4 years. So, that was an aeroplane coming across. I don't know if you can hear that. Hopefully not. Otherwise, my close mic technique is right up the Gary Glitter. But not to worry about that. So here we are, out on the River Thames. We thought, because it's summer, what's the point of being in a studio? Especially since the one that we were in last time burnt down. Nothing to do with us, you'll understand. So anyway, stuff to do today. First of all, I was going to do my... so we've got some more music and we've got The Tones. If we can fit it in, I'm going to put my anthem in, which I don't know who wrote this. I liberated this from the internet. If the person who wrote this is out there and would like any funds for copyright or whatever that, forget it. You're not going to get anything off me. I've got nothing. But I have sort of like got a lot of people into this song, which is My Wife Left Town with a Banana. I'm going to fart. Wait. Now that is pure papcast, and I think most people will... Oh, here's another one. Or if I do another one, I may shit. I may shit. So we're going to play that. And at the end today, I'll play you a slice of the song I meant, the V for Vendetta song, in which Alan Moore himself, the guy who wrote V for Vendetta, is the voice of Fate, and it's an absolute brilliant piece of music. And I've abridged it so that you can't steal it. So you can have this 4 minutes for free, but the actual song itself is about 11 minutes. And you'll only get that if you're a record company and you want to give me large amounts of money and get me and Alan and the other Alan on top of the pops, which will be difficult because there is no Top of the Pops anymore. So we've missed that boat as well. But other than that, you can take us to New York, maybe to Studio 54. Oh, no, wait, there is no Studio 54 anymore. I'm 39. 42. Right, so and other than that, the boy genius is with me, and he hasn't been with me since the last time. Since then, he had a bit of an operation. And over to Alan now to tell us what's been happening to him in Al's world over the last couple of months. And you'll like this. It involves poking holes in him and nearly killing him and causing him great amounts of pain. So, Alan, what the fuck has been happening to you for the last couple of months?
Well, I'm not sure you can call me the chestless bugle anymore.
But you don't seem to have got a chest.
No, you've got to work on that. Because, see, I had a metal chest and now I have no chest at all.
I've got no levels here. Are we still recording?
Yeah, you've broken it.
Oh, I'm only broke. We've got to fiddle with something down below. This proves that we really are live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having to fiddle. There it is. It's back again. It was almost as if, I'll be honest with you, it was almost as if, rather than being used by Alan, the microphone thought, fuck it, I'm going to switch myself off. I don't need this shite. So anyway, hold it while I get a glass of water, right? And tell us exactly, in your own words, try not to be as boring as you are on your usual radio show, what the fucking hell's been happening to you the last couple of months? Try not make it any more than 60 seconds.
Wanker. Well, basically, I had a metal bar inside my chest because...
Where's the cup?
There, sorry, mate, sorry. I was crushing. My chest was crushing inwards and killing my lungs.
Not too graphic, we've got young listeners.
There was blood everywhere, so I went down to hospital and they removed the metal bar that was put in my chest 2 years ago. Very painful. At one point...
How painful?
10.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, at one point, this is the best point. I was very ill one day, as you know. I had lots of infectious gunk coming out of me.
I laughed that day.
You did. You said, why don't you go down to the NHS drop-in centre? And I go in there, and they say, take this penicillin, you'll be fine. They say, you leave now, it's fine. As I leave, I suddenly hear two people shout my name, a doctor and a nurse ran out. You must come back in, Mr. Lake, you must come back in. Could be MRSA. Wasn't MRSA, but it's not the best way to be told that you might have MRSA. Could be MRSA.
Where there's blame, there's a claim. You should have rang up accident hotline.
Did you get that money for slipping over in Greenwich Foot Tunnel?
Do you know, I didn't get absolutely nothing. But you should have rang up the accident hotline and said, hi, Alan Lake, Chessler's Bugle. Quite frankly, I've just been told by a doctor that I'm Mrs. A. Right? And you'd have got loads of money. I like the way on those adverts they say, put you in touch with a solicitor, and within 24 hours, he got £5,000. What they mean is, they put you in touch with a solicitor within 24 hours, full stop, start a new sentence, in fact, a new paragraph, a new life, and he got £5,000. By that time, though, he was dead, and quite frankly, he'd lived a long and prosperous life and became a kickboxer.
How much did he originally get paid? The payout was £20,000. He got £5,000. Do you know what I mean?
Well, apparently they don't take any money off you, but I can't believe they're doing it because they like you. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, here we are on the Thames. It's a lovely summer's evening. It's the World Cup. By the time you listen to this, England may have been knocked out, but at the moment we're still going to fight Portugal. Fight Portugal. See, I know the rules of football. We're fighting Portugal on Saturday. I'll be honest with you, I've got a bit of a problem with this, because I've told the wife that I'm going to give up booze for a month after England get knocked out. England. So even saying it upsets me. Which means I'm going to have to be sober for a month, because I said I wouldn't actually drink again till my birthday, which is July the 19th. Please don't send any big presents in the post. Parcel force them. That'll be nice. So anyway, I wanted to briefly touch on Alan's genitals. But I won't, because I'm not like that. I wanted to briefly touch on Paella in the Sky. It's a comedy series I'm going to write for the BBC One. They've already told me. They said, Mark, we want you to write for us. I dreamt that, sorry. But I went to Spain a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, to try and get a job in Spanish radio, because I didn't seem to be doing very well in English radio. It started well, And got sort of slightly... I've got a book with all the things written down, but I'm not going to bother to read it because I can't under this light. I'm just going to try and remember some of the highlights, which were going to Spain. I can't remember the name of these two blokes now. That's how much therapy I've had since then. But when they say in Spain they do things at a different time, they do things mañana, they really do things at a different pace. I mean, there's no point ever trying to get anything in Spain done on the same day as you want it done. Because all their letters the same were, mañana, mañana, mañana. Anyway, we went there. A friend, Sasha, and I'd stayed with Sasha in a hotel before, but we'd had different rooms. This was not like an apartment. This was just a big room with two beds in. And I didn't realise that she had sleep apnea, or whatever it is you call, which means when you go to sleep, you make a fucking loud noise and you snore loads, right? And she snored lots. And I blamed her for it, because in 4 days, we went for 4 days, I didn't sleep one bit, one little bit. I ended up trying to sleep in the bathroom with the door open, with my iPod on, my iPod Shuffle. Yeah, somehow I inherited an iPod Shuffle. Can't believe that, Steve. And... But there you are. And I was so grumpy with her. And she paid for the whole holiday because I didn't have any money at all, right? Because I'm skint, right? And I used to be famous nearly, but now I'm not nearly. And now I'm nearly skint nearly all the time. So basically, Sasha paid for this holiday. We went over there. I couldn't really blame... I even thought one night, I know what I'll do. I'll get absolutely pissed as a fart. And so when I go to sleep, it won't matter. But I woke up an hour later, and there she is next to me, giving me verbal in the ear hole. It was painful. I've even actually got some of it on my mobile phone, which I'll try and upload, and you can hear, because not only does she snore, but she does different types of snoring. She does the old train snoring. And then she does the old abrupt snoring, which is... And then she does the worst one. This is the worst one for anyone who's ever slept with a snorer, right? She does the, I'm snoring, and now I'm going to stop for no reason, and you'll think I'm dead for half an hour. And he goes... And you're not sure, because you're thinking, I love that person, but I hope they're dead. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you're thinking... And he goes... So anyway, we're with these two people, the guy who ran this radio station. I can't remember the name of the radio station, but I'm going to call it Technical Toss-Up Radio. And when I got there, we went to the place, and I thought it was a normal house, right? I walked into this place, which I thought was supposed to be a radio studio. We went upstairs, and we had a drink first on the veranda, and it's all very nice, because it's Spain, it's very hot. Excuse me, I've got to do a pee.
Quanker.
And then he said, right, I'll take you into the studio, Mark. And he took me into this front room. I swear to God, someone was watching telly. And in the back, quietly, there was this guy on a little mixing desk. Right? Not even any egg boxes on the wall. And he was doing this show. And I thought, my, I could do this at home. I could do this on the Thames. Ditto, here I am. So there was that. And then he took us out one night and he told us that he was going to go and meet his friend at this bar who looked like Elvis. And we went to this bar, and I can only say that it must have been Elvis when he was going through his Chris Isaacs cross-eyed mutant period, because this bloke had about as much resemblance to Elvis as Alan has got a resemblance to a human being. Thanks for that line, Alan. Cheers. Your check's in the post. And your chest is also in the post, so try and get hold of that one. That'll be nice. And... So we got over there. Do you know what? I think if I hadn't been sleep deprived, I might have had a good time. The weather was good, and I thought I might get on air, but it wasn't to be, and it didn't happen. And on the way back, we're on the plane, and you've got to imagine, I haven't slept for 4 days. I'm knackered. I'm pissed off because I think, well, this has gone. This isn't got the way I wanted it to go. we've got on the plane. Sasha has actually gone away because I thought when we first went about getting the job, I mentioned to her that it was all pie in the sky. In fact, I looked at her because it was Spain. I went, in fact, it's paella in the sky, which I thought was funny. And we're on the plane on the way home. And to cheer me up, because we were supposed to get a lift from these people and they let us down, and we ended up paying €50 to get a taxi to the airport and then on the plane. While we're there, Sasha gets me a nice present. I don't know if she's going to get me a present. I think she's gone off to get me... So she said, I'm going off to get some more sweets, because she works with children. I thought she goes, oh. And I mutter off something about her being a fat bastard and she eats enough sweets, right? Because I was annoyed by that time. She comes back. She's got me a present, my favourite perfume, Bottle of Dupe, and some other bits, a mug with Spain on it. And ironically enough, she's got me this little ashtray, and on it it's got written, it's all bull. And believe me, it is. So I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm thinking, oh, that is the most... Considering I've just been in a really hot country having a great time, that has got to be the most horriblest, best time I've ever had. So I'm sitting there, and I think, well, do you know what? To cheer myself up for this horrible 4 days, nothing else could go wrong. Nothing else could go wrong. I'm going to spray a bit of this perfume that Sasha's just bought me with all the love and care. And for the 4 nights, I've been waking up in the middle of the night saying, you fat, useless, snoring cow. I didn't mean to, but you know you get your words mixed up sometimes. You know you suddenly want to say to someone, hey, thanks for all that. Thanks for the money. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the effort. And you suddenly say, you fat lesbian bitch. You fucking snore like a trooper. That's what I said. So anyway... I'm sitting, my milkshake brings the boys to the yard. I spilled some milkshake in the fridge one night and we had this great laugh about that, but you'd have to be there. On the plane, on the way home, and I'm thinking I'm going to spray this perfume. And I took out the Dupe bottle, I opened it and I sprayed a bit. Dupe, if you're listening, I like Dupe. And mind you, if anybody who's listening, Yves Saint Laurent, anything, I'm happy. I sprayed a bit on my wrist. And from behind me, I heard this... I look round and there's this woman sitting there and her face is the most amazing shade of purple. She says, I'm allergic to perfume. I think, oh, fucking bollocks. Right? It's, how could it get any worse, right? I'm only killing a passenger on a plane and I'm not even Wesley Snipes, right? I turn around, so I think, oh, just ignore it. She's bound to fucking die sooner or later. I turn around. She, by this time, the cabin crew are all coming up, and I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. I only sprayed a bit of perfume, do you know what I mean? They're turning around. I'm thinking, well, keep a straight face. Don't say anything stupid, just because I'm in such a bad mood. So Sasha leans across to me. She says to me, and this didn't help at all. She said to me, oh, look at her. Oh, I can't breathe. Everybody look at me. Right? Which makes me fucking start laughing like nothing. Right? I'm sorry for swearing, but I've seen Big Brother tonight. Right? And I look across and she's... Next, there's two people carrying her off to the back, right? And all I can... She's in anaphylactic shock because I've sprayed a bit of bastard Dupe, right? So off she goes to the back of the plane. I swear to God this is the truth, right? As she goes to the back of the plane, the intercom comes on, right? And obviously the captain doesn't know what's going on and he's got these announcements to read out and he reads out this one. He goes... And I hope you're enjoying your flight. Hello, this is Captain Bendover. We're just going across the Gulf of whatever it is we're coming across. I can't quite recognise it. Been drinking heavily earlier on this evening. And I'd just like to say that our cabin crew will be coming through in a little while with some various perfumes that you can buy on board. And if you don't know what they are, don't be frightened. We'll give you a free... I thought they do want to kill this girl. They couldn't care less, could they? I landed 10 minutes before the plane. We got onto a bus, because you've got to go from a bus, haven't you, to the airport, to where you've left your car, if it's still there. As we're getting off the bus, there's the bus driver, he's one of those Hitler blokes, right? He's one of those Hitler guys. What was that? What was that? There was just an amazing flash just there. What was that? Now, that was weird. Somebody either took a picture of us or there's an electric storm with no rain. That was weird. That was cool, but it was weird. Anyway, basically the bus driver gave me a hard time as well. So I really tore into him. I did my favourite heckles. I don't think he deserved it, but I'd really saved up 4 days worth. I went into the whole lot. Well, no, hang on, I said, just stand there a minute. Let me just try out something, I said. I used to be a magician. Abracadabra, no, you're still a twat. If I want come back off you, I'll come over, I said, and wipe it with a hanky off your chin myself. I said, quite frankly, they ruined a good arsehole when they put it. I mean, I ruled off these anti... The bloke just looked at me and thought, fucking hell, mate, I only told you to move out of the way. And 4 days of it came out like exorcism. Right, I want another song now. This is The Tones, and basically this is dedicated to my mate Jeremy Kyle, who used to be my very good friend, but funnily enough, when I was doing the television series, he doesn't seem to ring me as much as he used to. Maybe his phone number's wrong, and perhaps maybe I should give you the phone number and you could try it just to see if it works. If you haven't spoke to me till the next podcast, I think probably I will, so you can try it as well. But this is a group called The Tones. They're shit. But I particularly like this song, it's called Jeremy Kyle.
You killed all of your kids and you fucked up your sister. And your mum is dead and you say that you miss her. You had the truth from a lie detector. And it was you that did it affect her. Jeremy, don't give a shit about you, cause you're as good as a shit on his shoe. His brother was on crack and now he's kicked all out. And now he's got a wife, kids and a cat. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, he's got such style. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, I wish I could be you for a while. You say she's your daughter, well I think you ought to take a DNA test just to clear up this mess. You sold yourself on the street just so that ends would meet. Jeremy says that that's wrong. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, he's got such style. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, I wish I could be you for a while. With his gambling problems and his mountains of debt, Jeremy says that you deserve what you get. He's got no sympathy for your family tree, and you're just a useless slob who can't even get a job. The drugs in your body and that messed up family tree. You make great viewing on daytime TV. Your mum ran away and your dad's in the jail, and you love the crack, the smack, the pills and the ale. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, you make me smile. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, I wish I could be you for a while. He's not your father, so he don't mind hurting you, and he's gonna help you to stop what you do. Come on, he says, why don't you be a man? Stop sleeping with hookers in the back of your camper van. So don't start your crying, sit there in the chair. Just cause your girlfriend shaved off all your hair. Listen to Jeremy, who knows what he's saying. Advice like that, you really should pay him. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, you make me smile. Jeremy Kyle, Jeremy Kyle, I wish I could be you for a while.
Lady's a fucking crackhead, ladies and gentlemen. Right or wrong, I think it's a fact. Get off my stage.
Jeremy Kyle, The Tones. I know, I told you it's crap, but there you are. Right, I want to say hello to some people. Alan, where's that bag of my... Oh, you can't. Can you run over and get that bag?
You've got 22 minutes at that house.
Yeah, no, let's worry about that, mate. 22 minutes. Don't worry about that. I've been known to talk shit for longer than that. I need to say hello to a few people. Remember the usual ways of getting in touch with us on the podcast. m.math.fox@talk21.com. That's my Talk21 address, which gets straight to me. And also, you can look at my MySpace site, because we're doing a lot of stuff with MySpace at the moment. The Chestless Bugle. I know he doesn't want me to give his out, so myspace.com/AlanLake. Yes, that's right, the Capital Radio DJ. Capital Radio. He's up there in the night time going, 95.8 Capital FM, this is Alan Lake. Obviously when the normal people are sick. And I'm not bitter, no. And I want to say hello to all these people, but I can't see because it's so dark. That was weird, wasn't that weird? Alan, hold this close to my mouth. And I've said that before now. Hold that there. Right. And I'm just going to try and find all these people I've got to say hello to. How are you, by the way? You all right?
Yeah, I am. I'm a little bit worried about that.
I am, Shane. What, the flash of light? I'm a bit worried about that flash of light. Yeah, yeah. Or were you a bit worried about that Jeremy Carson? Right, I want to say hello to these people. If I haven't said hello to you, I'll do it in the next podcast. All you got to do is, if you're on MySpace and you've downloaded this podcast, all you got to do is, quite literally, is send me an email to m.math.fox@talk21.com, and we'll give you a mention in the next podcast. Those people who have touched me in a special way for this particular podcast are and include, and I've got to get right close to the PC that's down here to try and see any of the names.
Don't touch
it. Gina, Beth, Ultraviolence, Migs, Shaz, Someone the Baddest DJ, right, so he's shit, Jinxie, Sharon, Reverend Dom, Little Miss Mosh, Ronnie Cray, Rockin' Robin, Air, Sean, who's a twat. Sean was quiet because I sent out some requests for people and Sean told me to stick my head up my arse. Which was nice, but I told him to do it first, and then I'd see if I liked it. I only usually kiss on the first date. Claire and Kat. There are others, but quite frankly, I can't read them, and I can't be asked. Yeah, I'll put those back. Thank you all. The what have we played? We played the Fisher Cabaret. Right, quick now. This is good. This is my anthem, right? I know we've got a few songs in this one. Play me anthem. This is, I don't know who sang this, but we've liberated it from the internet. And if it's you and you know who wrote this, then if you want any money or funds or copyright stuff, shove it up your arse. You're getting nothing off as I'm skint. But I have exposed your music. This is Someone or Other and My Wife Left Town with a Banana, which is absolutely brilliant. Listen to this.
My wife left town with a banana. Love's a rotten deal. Found that yellow devil hiding in her purse. He's cold and he's hard, but he's got appeal. I hope it never happens to you. Some fruit breaks your marriage in two. My wife left town with a banana. My baby's slipping away. Down with a banana. I'm a jealous man. She found a 6-inch Latin lover. Now she does the tango with her right hand. And right now I could just die. He's eating my banana cream pie. My wife left town with a banana. My baby's slipping. My baby's slipping. My baby's slipping away.
Right, my wife left town with a banana. Absolutely brilliant. Here we are on the Thames, the outdoor OB podcast. Very nearly finished. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's come in. Thank you to all those people on MySpace. Thank you to Alan. To let you know that what's coming up is quite special, this bit here. I don't usually blow my own trumpet. I can't reach since I put on all that weight. But here's the deal. 15 years ago, I was a sad little skinny director in King's Cross who sold my arse for rent, quite frankly, and very rarely made enough to live in a bedsit. But I didn't really sell my arse. You know what I mean?
You get a lot of money for it.
Let's fart again. How much is that worth, Al?
Ten.
£10. Okay, you know me that. Right, so, but I was a director, and we did V for Vendetta, and I grew up in Northampton. I was lucky enough to grow up with a guy called Alan Moore who wrote V for Vendetta, and I directed it in a little pub in top of King's Cross. And Alan came down to see the cast because he knew me, and they all liked me a lot more after that, because before that they thought I was a shit director. I wasn't a shit director. I was a shit director. And Alan came down to see me, and he agreed to be the voice of fate, because I thought it'd sell more tickets. So basically, we advertised V for Vendetta, the play, featuring Alan Moore as the voice of fate. So everybody came expecting to see Alan Moore, but we'd put his voice on tape, you see. That's why I suppose the second half of the play never had quite as many people in it as the first half. But it went all right. And we did produce one fantastic piece of music. At the beginning you heard Vicious Cabaret, which is not mine, which is David J. From Bauhaus, ex-Bauhaus. Some of you may remember Pete Murphy is doing Maxell Breaks the Sound Barrier adverts, or Bela Lugosi is Dead, if you're really cool. But here we were doing this play, and Dave Turley, my friend, big Dave Turley, wrote the music for this, and I wrote the words, having read Voice of Fate during this, and I've abridged it, as I say, so that you can't actually take all of this off, because I reckon this is worth money somewhere along the line. I've got to make some money somewhere. But if you want to hear the abridged version, if you're fans for V for Vendetta, and just as a gift for you getting all the way this far through the third pap, the outdoor pap, the by the Thames and we're very scared, we've heard silly noises and we just had a flash of light and I'm very scared. And I'm 6 foot and 19 stone. And I'm scared. What am I going to do? Chuck Al at them? Do you know what I mean? What am I going to do? Chuck you at them?
I think I've shit myself.
Thank you. I hope so. Oh, Christ, at least. And I thought I stunk. It's Alan. He's sitting in his own poo-poo. So basically, this is V for Vendetta, the abridged version. Thank you to Alan for doing the editing. And this is just V for Vendetta. And the music's by Dave Turley. I did the lyrics. And the voice you'll hear as the voice of fate is that of Alan Moore, the bloke who wrote V for Vendetta. So the voice of fate is as it should be, rather than the quite loud, silly man Lewis Prothero that they've got on the film. If you like the pap, then you want another one, then you can either get through on MySpace or the usual emails, which is m.maf.fox@talk21.com. Don't forget to listen to this big boy, the Chesslers. Can I tell you where you were at the moment? Capital Disney, Mr. Lake, 7 till 11, In on the Lake. Good title, that. Who gave you that title?
I came up with that all myself, actually.
Did you? What, Revel, like I did with the Revels Roulette?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I talk to you and as I'm talking to you, I hit you on the nose? Thank you. So there you are. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming, like you came. Well, unless you are actually coming. Shall I warm the spoons?
Wacka.
We're getting out of here before someone takes any more photographs. Do you know what? I reckon we could have got away with this a lot easier if I'd actually put any trousers on before I came out. But thank you very much. That's Pap 3. Take it easy if you take it at all. And as I said to the doctor, Doctor, I've got a weak heart. And he said to me, well, lay on your side and I'll try and miss it. Thanks very much. Ta-da. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
would advise you to avoid the Balham and Brixton areas. As of today, they are quarantine zones. These are risk 4 zones. England prevails. XY14 may take them to their local meat stockist no later than November the 10th. England prevails.